Okay, this is an unusual way to kind of introduce a message, and so Rick, I'm going to just say something about our conversation because it tied in with what had been happening. let me say, what I'm going to say here is not political, okay? So, because I'm going to talk about President Clinton, all right? I like golf, and I watch some of the golf tournaments, and so President Clinton, Bill Clinton, is now, he's kind of the driving force behind what used to be the Bob Hope Classic. Anybody, a lot of y'all know Bob Hope, and you know Bob Hope was a great comedian and did a lot of great things for our military and was a funny guy. And so, but, you know, obviously he's passed away. Well, that golf tournament now has President Clinton, along with one of the insurance companies, promoting health. It's actually called the Humana Challenge. So they were talking about President Clinton, and I respect all of our presidents, okay? And I respect President Clinton, and I think he's an interesting guy to listen to, all right? But I think about him sometimes when I hear him, and I think about the things that happened to him and things that he did and some of the choices that he made while he was president. And it's interesting because he comes out of the same kind of church that I did, Southern Baptist Church, right? I mean, did y'all know he's a Southern Baptist? Yeah, okay. You didn't know he was? Okay. His wife is Methodist, by the way. I looked that up yesterday, too, to see. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how that works. But I thought about, as I listened to them talk about him and what he's done, and he has done some great things. And I'm grateful for any of our presidents. And I know that both President Bush is, how would you say that? Well, what is it? Senior Bush and Junior Bush both have worked with President Clinton on some good things, and I think those are good. But I thought about President Clinton because, you know, he had all these heart issues. And so he's really promoting getting healthy. And I thought, you know, God, he came, you know, he says he's a born-again believer. He's Southern Baptist. And he came out of the same church, kind of, we're not in the same church, but the same churches that I did. My college education is from a Baptist university. And yet some of the things, even choices that he made, I know were not in line with what we believed about the Bible. And I thought, you know, here he's had all these heart issues. And so I've wondered, not to criticize him or to judge him, but what is his heart really like? And all these things, did he, you know, was he really close to God when these things were going on? And because I looked at some of the things, and like the Southern Baptist Convention, they took issue with President Clinton on a variety of matters, okay? And they passed resolutions, actually, where they condemned choices that he made while he was president. It was interesting because his own home church, which is in Little Rock, initiated formal church discipline against him, but they decided to rule it out because it was out of order. Now, that might be hard to, I guess, excommunicate the president of the United States who had been a member of your church and was still saying that was his church. In 1994, going back, the Southern Baptist Convention also voted to applaud statements by Mother Teresa, a Catholic, okay, which rebuked President Clinton for his pro-abortion stance. And this is the thing, and I remember some of this, but this is the thing that really, you say, where are you going with this, Pastor Dennis? Listen to this. After his impeachment proceedings in 1998 and 1999, Clinton's rating reached its highest point. In other words, that as a country, we viewed him with the highest approval rating at that time, after all that came out about what happened at the White House. And he finished at the end of 2001 with an approval rating of 68%. Which matched those of Ronald Reagan and Franklin D. Roosevelt as the highest ratings for departing presidents in the modern era. Do you understand what I'm trying to say in that? There were a lot of people and there were a lot of Christians that approved of what he did. And the reason I tied this in, because Rick came in and talked to me yesterday and was talking about how that the accessibility of pornography and sexually oriented materials is so influenced the Christian community that now things that many of you as married couples and as they are looking at marriage or are maybe married, that actual sexual acts that have been glamorized in Hollywood and even beyond in the pornography industry, Christian young couples are asking, are those things okay? Now, I'm not trying to blame President Clinton because we were already headed down this path anyway. But for a country that was founded on religious freedom with as many godly men and principles as we have had, we have vastly moved away from drawing near to God. And I know we've talked about this, but as I was reading and studying out of Hebrews 10, and Rick came in and he talked to me about that, and I thought, you know, Lord, man, we have so moved away from you. Not just talking about people that, I'm not talking about people that don't have a relationship with God. I'm talking about us. And I'm not here to put a heaviness on us today, okay? Because when you read Hebrews chapter 10, I mean, it's really, the book of Hebrews is written because the author is trying to encourage Christians that are beginning to move away from their faith in God. That's what it's about. And so I want to read, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Verse 19, chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, now that's, Greg was talking about one that Jesus intercedes for us, and that's what that means. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This morning, I want to talk to us about, let us draw near to God. Because in reality, and you know this is true, that we are moving away. This country is moving away. And the thing that happens is sometimes in our lives is that we're not always aware. I mean, it really hit me yesterday when Rick came in and I'd watched President Clinton and he talked specifically, and I'm not going to go into what he talked about, one of the studies that he had seen. But I thought, you know, Lord, help us. Because what used to be clearly not acceptable for believers is now being brought in to the marriage relationship. Now, I know we get very quiet when we talk about this area, and but it just is an example of how far that we're moving away. And the challenge is so much, I mean, for many of us, I mean, you know, if you think about some of these things, you know, morally and ethically, But for our young people and for the next generations that are coming along, these things are being looked at as though, hey, maybe this is okay. That maybe I can have a relationship with God and be near to God and have these things going on in my life. That they're acceptable. And so what Hebrews 10 is saying, let's draw near to God. And look what he says in verse 19, okay? Because this is really, it's a letter. It's written to believers. You know, he's writing as another believer. He's not writing as a judge. I mean, he's writing this with humility and meekness to an audience that really is a group of house churches. And he uses the word we. Let us draw near to God. But see, the thing about it is, and this is true for us, it matters what we do individually. Isn't that right? I mean, it matters what you do with your family individually. Is it right, dads? The same thing is true for God's people, for the church that you're a part of. It matters what you do. So he is writing and he's saying, let us draw near. Well, all of us have to choose, right? I have to choose. The elders have to choose. As a mom and dad, you have to choose. Our young people have to choose to draw near to God. And we'll see in the next couple of messages more of this. What's happening in the church, and when we look at things across our nation, it is happening here. It's happening in what we call, some people call Copperfield, Texas, or Cy-Fair. I mean, it's happening in our own church, right? I mean, do you sense, I mean, even sometimes when you talk to your young people, you can see how we've been influenced. And many of us pray, and we try to model, and you know, we struggle with things in our own lives, right? And so this morning, I want to just take a few minutes, and I want to ask you to consider, how's your heart today? Because that's what he's writing to these hearers. Do you desire to be near to God in your daily life? I mean, I want us to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move, but I don't want us to just pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move in this time. I'm talking about this service in this building, right? We need to pray that God will empower us out there as well. Because there's a lot more people to influence out there that don't have a relationship with the Lord, that need to see us living and what he's talking about. Let's look at the things that he says to us that really is an exhortation. He says that we can come with confidence. Got confidence? No. The New King James used the word boldness. Well, the word confidence there, it means to have free and open expression in approaching God, especially in your prayers. Remember how we've talked about, listen, if there's an opportunity to pray, be confident. Pray for them. Boldly pray for them. I mean, because that's what he's saying to us. We can come confidently. Especially in our prayers. You have the confidence to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit, just like you try to do in here, right? And that's what we're praying for, that. But you have the confidence to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit out there. Isn't that right? Say, okay, does that mean, like, you know, just when I pray for somebody? No. To live being aware of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that's hard to do, Pastor. Yeah, it is. It is. It does take discipline to do that. But he's saying we can come with confidence. Now, your confidence, you can't strut around or talk, you know, arrogantly or brag about, you know, yourself, because it's not on your merit, right? It's not. It's on Jesus' merit. And so when Dan is encouraging us, and we've been talking about trust, see, this fits right in there. It's what God is saying. Do you trust me? Come confidently, come boldly with your prayers. You know, I mean, and it's challenging sometimes, because how many, I will say to you, you know, we've really been praying for a number of things and a number of people, and sometimes it looks really quiet, and then God will just show you just enough. And it's like, God, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I'm going to continue to come confidently in the things that you've shown me to pray for. And church, we need to be doing, when Rick is exhorting us to that, he's right. In every area of your life, I mean, praying for your kids every day. I mean, we pray for our kids every day. They're almost all grown-ups. And as they've gotten older, you know, their decisions are more significant. It's with confidence, but it's not on your merit. It's not anything that you've done. He talks about a new and living way because it comes through our relationship with the resurrected Lord, right? I mean, Ron and Leslie, and I don't know, is Carol. I mean, some of y'all I know are very knowledgeable concerning the Old Covenant and the Jewish, you know, ceremonies and traditions. And so, you know, just think about it. I mean, when he talks about new and living way, until Jesus went to be with the Father, I mean, if you wanted to come into God's presence, you would have had to, what, be sprinkled with blood and water. And nobody had to do that today, right? Why? Because, and we'll talk about it more in a minute, because your heart's been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And when he talks about that pure water, I mean, it's debated whether is he talking about baptism. Some say yes, some say no. But pure water represents what? It's life flow that comes through us that cleanses us. And you know what? It wasn't available until Jesus completed what he did. And so the danger for us today and for our kids and the next generations, it is that we could become like the Pharisees by denying the power or taking for granted the new covenant that we have. Oh, it doesn't matter if I pray. I mean, the boldness that we have is in our worship too. I mean, you know, last week I was really sick. You might, you know, and I'm not looking for sympathy. I sounded terrible. I probably looked terrible. And I'm just praying and I'm trying to seek, you know, God help me. We're having musical worship. And y'all are dancing all over the place. Why? Because you can come boldly. You can come boldly into worship. And it's not just anybody that we're praying to. I mean, do you understand that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there had to be a man, right? Right, Ron and Leslie? And he could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And I think they put a rope on his leg, did they? In case something happened, they had to pull him out. I mean, we take all this for granted. And I know it's hard for us to relate. I mean, how many of y'all have goats in your backyard that you could sacrifice and sprinkle yourself with blood before you came to church? You don't. Now, some of y'all may, I don't know. If you live on a farm. Yeah, yeah. But it's hard for us to imagine that. But listen, he's saying you could come with confidence. Dennis Green is here. Dennis and I prayed. Dennis is a real... He's a prayer warrior. And he was sharing with me back at Family Fest. You know, Dennis, I remember what you shared with me about, you know, praying and praying from a place of authority and confidence. Listen, it's not just for Dennis. It's for y'all. It's for y'all. For all of y'all. So when Brian's at work and somebody comes along, a friend of his or somebody's work, he could just put his hand on the shoulder and pray confidently. Ashley can do the same thing. Malcolm can do the same thing. And you prayed for your Alabama Crimson Tide, didn't you? Yeah. Now, let me say something, because this is where we struggle. We struggle because I think we still have a mindset that sometimes that in our prayers, that God better answers our prayers in here. Or God better answers our prayers at our home group. And when we think about worship, we think about, praise God, you know, dancing around. But what is worship? Worship, if I can say it, it's presenting your life to the Lord. That's what Romans 12 talks about. So is this okay to, can I tell him? Greg got a promotion. And some of you may have gotten promotions. But what I see in that is that, you know, he's done an excellent job. He's presenting himself because he's got confidence even in his work, right? You understand what I'm saying? The mindset is that, you know, it's when we pray for people to be healed, you know, and we got to come to church or we've got to be in a prayer meeting. No, if we're to be bold in worship, that means that we're to be confident in our work. I mean, there are a lot more people out there that'll see you and they see, you know, a confidence that you have that's not built on your own merit. So when Greg does, he's doing an excellent job. So now it's not only that he's, you know, in charge of a project, he's in charge of projects and managing people. So he can interface with people. So it's a great opportunity, you know, for him to share maybe his faith, you know, just a lot of opportunities. Why? Because he's doing an excellent job. He's presenting himself in his work, in the workplace, in the marketplace. Y'all believe that? It's why it's so difficult when Christians don't do a good job in the marketplace. And people, what do they say about us? They say we're hypocritical. We can't get along. Those kind of things. Y'all have heard those things. You know, but you have boldness and you have confidence to present yourself. Secondly, he says we are to come with a sincere heart. The NIV uses sincere. The original language says true, a true heart. Well, what does the heart represent? It represents your inner life, right? Tick, tick, tick. I mean, you know, it's the important part of you. And, you know, what he's saying is it can involve your thoughts, your will, your emotions. And how about your character? Proverbs 4:23 from the New King James Version, because I know some of y'all have that version. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. He is saying to us that a true heart is one that's being real, genuine, and loyal. I mean, when you come into the presence of God, think about it. I mean, it's better for us to come into God's presence, like today, coming into a worship service like this. And rather than pretending that our heart is right, than to say, God, I need help. And that's what many of you did this morning, right? I mean, I don't know what your prayers were. Maybe they were for something else. But some came this morning and they're saying, you know, God, I need to really trust you. And I haven't been in this area of my life. Be real. It's hard for us many times because in our old nature, we want to deceive. I mean, we don't want people to know us, and sometimes we think it's like, you know, I'm just going to reserve this for myself. But he's saying, come with a true heart. If you're going to draw near to God and be near to God and practice, you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you come with a true heart. It means that in drawing near to God, that we are to be committed to Him. Are you committed to Him? Are you? He also says that we are to come with full assurance of faith. Now, those two things almost contradict one another, don't they? Full assurance and the word faith. But you know how that phrase can be translated as unwavering trust. That's what God's been after in my heart. Dennis, your trust is wavering in me. Not about salvation, though that's faith too, right? But do you really trust me? Is your faith or your trust in me unwavering? Biblical faith always suggests a firm trust. And you know why you can have firm trust? Because God has always been faithful to His people. He established a new covenant. You don't have to have somebody else go into God's presence for you. You don't have to go to a tabernacle. You don't have to come to this building. You can practice the presence of God wherever you are. See, and we just like, you know, I mean, God help us to understand. It's like we've been so blessed. I know, it's all right. So there's a lot of teaching in this. I realize this. But do you understand what I'm saying to you is that in the Christian community, I mean, What this church was experiencing was a spiritual lethargy. I'm grateful to God because, you know, our faith and being able to trust God and come into God's presence, it's not characterized by death, by having to make a sacrifice with a goat or an animal. Because the one that who gave His life without sin is the Son of God. And what He did, when we put our personal faith in Him, then the Bible talks about that God writes the laws on your heart. So that there's a desire in you. And you know, it's because the blood of Jesus, because it's the Son of God, and because He lived without sin, it demands that you come with confidence into God's presence, that you live your life practicing the presence of God. Your hearts are cleansed from a guilty conscience. Is your conscience clear today? And you know what? And even when you disobey or you do something and, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and says, you know, that's not right. Because of what Christ has done, you can come with confidence and ask God to forgive you. Spiritually, we are washed with pure water. And you realize what, think about it. In the Old Testament, what they had to do was really external, right? But with us, it's internal. It's internal. It's in your heart. Solomon was a very wise man, wasn't he? There was a point in his life, because his heart was divided, that he began to trust in other gods. And there's Moses, who chose in the Old Testament to have intimacy with God's presence face to face. What are you going to choose? You know, it's a daily choice that we have. And the promise that we have, listen, from Hebrews 8:10, this is what God says. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's a promise. This morning, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life personally believing in him, I want to invite you to do that. Join me as we pray. Father, Lord, I pray for us this morning, God. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the life of your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for his sacrifice on this earth and upon the cross. I thank you, God, that you raised him from the dead by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, today he is with you. Lord, that we can pray, and Lord, he intercedes. He is there, God. And so I pray, God, for any person that's here that does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to their heart. And Lord, to Lord, take the words of your scripture and Lord, personalize it that they might believe in Jesus. That their heart might be changed, their life might be changed. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you save people, that you change our lives, God. Father, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would help us. Lord, help us to go with boldness to live our lives, practicing your presence. Lord, taking opportunity to pray for people and to build relationship and share our faith. Lord, doing practical things, whatever it is, God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear your Spirit and eyes to see where you're at work outside, Lord, this church building, outside our houses, Lord, at school, the marketplace, the neighborhood, wherever it is, God. We commit these things to you, and we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.